Picture a well-meaning committee deciding what you'll eat for breakfast, where you'll work, and how you'll spend your evenings. All for your own good, of course. Sounds absurd? Yet this is precisely the trajectory Friedrich Hayek warned against in 1944, when his slim book became an unlikely bestseller that reached over 600,000 Americans. What made an Austrian economist's academic treatise so explosively popular? He answered a haunting question. How did Germany, once the pinnacle of Western civilization, descend into Nazi barbarism? More unsettling still, he argued that Britain and America were sleepwalking down the same path. Margaret Thatcher later slammed his book on a table, declaring, "This is what we believe." Today, as calls for expanded government control resurface under new banners, his warnings feel less like history and more like prophecy. Tyranny doesn't announce itself with jackboots. It arrives wearing compassion's mask, promising to solve problems markets seemingly can't. German intellectuals who embraced socialism never imagined they were paving Hitler's path. They simply wanted society organized more rationally and fairly. Central planning contains a fatal flaw. Free markets scatter economic power across millions, making their own decisions. Planning demands someone, a committee, bureau, leader, decide what gets produced, in what quantities, at what prices, and who receives it. When government controls production, it controls the means to achieve every human goal. Consider the practical implications. A worker dissatisfied with her boss can seek employment elsewhere in a free economy. But when the state becomes sole employer, where can she go? What happens to farmers questioning agricultural quotas or entrepreneurs with unapproved ideas? The system cannot tolerate dissent without unraveling. Even well-intentioned planning slides inexorably toward coercion because comprehensive control requires comprehensive obedience. Socialist systems inevitably resort to force, not as a bug, but as a feature. For most of human history, tradition dictated existence within tribal collectives. The West's revolutionary innovation was unleashing individuals to chart their own courses. This freedom drove unprecedented progress. Steam engines, electricity, antibiotics, automobiles, airplanes. Each innovation accelerating the next and dramatically improving living standards. Yet success bred complacency. Rather than recognizing free societies had achieved something extraordinary, intellectuals fixated on remaining problems and advocated abandoning the principles that enabled progress, like demolishing a foundation because the roof needs repair. Germany pioneered the shift from liberalism to collectivism. Philosophers like Hegel and Marx developed theories subordinating individual rights to collective needs. By the early 20th century, Germany had created the welfare state and developed sophisticated planning techniques during World War I. Chillingly, German socialists pioneered methods later adopted by Nazis, propaganda techniques, mass mobilization, economic controls. Hitler didn't invent these tools, he borrowed them from socialist predecessors. This explains the extraordinary similarity between communism and fascism. Both competed for the same minds and shared hatred of liberalism. Not all planning threatens freedom. Planning for competition creates conditions where individual knowledge flourishes, establishing legal frameworks, protecting property rights, preventing fraud, maintaining stable currency. This recognizes that markets require carefully crafted institutions. Planning against competition means directing economic activities according to a central blueprint, replacing millions of dispersed decisions with commands from above. We favor competition not because it's always most efficient in narrow technical terms, but because it's the only method that adjusts our activities without coercive intervention. The information problem reveals the difference. Central planners must somehow gather impossible amounts of data, every resource, capability, changing condition, consumer preference, then issue detailed commands. The competitive system uses prices as signals that automatically record and disseminate relevant information, allowing entrepreneurs to adjust by watching relatively few indicators. The Soviet Union could launch satellites, but consistently failed to produce basic consumer goods Western economies took for granted. The price system solves economic problems through decentralization and automatic coordination, sophisticated machinery compared to primitive central direction.
Why do intelligent people embrace collectivist ideas despite repeated failures? The answer lies in a seductive promise: freedom from economic worry through collective action. This redefines liberty from freedom from coercion to freedom from want, a subtle but devastating shift. Traditional liberty meant absence of arbitrary power. The new freedom promises liberation from economic constraints, but requires giving authorities power to direct resources according to their conception of justice, precisely the arbitrary power traditional liberty sought to prevent. When planners replace monetary incentives with privileges and positions, authorities determine not just reward size, but how they're enjoyed, directing almost the whole of our lives. Money is actually one of freedom's greatest instruments. It offers unprecedented choice even to the poor, who, in market economies, decide for themselves how to allocate limited resources. In planned economies, authorities make these choices according to their priorities. This explains why socialist systems produce not just economic stagnation, but cultural and intellectual sterility. When all resources flow through political channels, creative endeavors depend on official approval. Artists, writers, scientists, and entrepreneurs must conform or be denied means to pursue their work.
Totalitarian systems inevitably elevate the ruthless through structural necessity. Democratic socialists believe they can implement plans through persuasion, but comprehensive planning requires consensus that doesn't exist in diverse societies. People naturally disagree about priorities and resist property seizure. Faced with resistance, planners have three options: abandon plans, persuade everyone voluntarily, or force compliance. The first means admitting failure. The second proves impossible. You can never convince everyone to sacrifice their interests. This leaves only coercion, which requires people willing to override others' rights, creating selection pressure favoring the ruthless. Movements beginning with high-minded intellectuals typically end with thugs in charge, because intellectuals lack temperament for brutal suppression. Those who rise are most willing to lie, manipulate, imprison, and kill whatever implements the plan. The process corrupts language itself. Freedom becomes unlimited planner power. Justice justifies redistribution. Democracy transforms into ritualistic regime approval. Even science falls victim. Nazi Germany developed German physics. Soviet biology under Lysenko rejected genetics with disastrous consequences. Freedom carries the seeds of its own destruction. Once achieved, it's taken for granted and ceases to inspire. Must we experience totalitarianism before freedom regains its value? To prevent this, we need a positive vision of what truly free societies could achieve, not merely diluted socialism or status quo defense. The road to serfdom still stretches before us, disguised by promises of security and equality. Our task is recognizing it and choosing differently. This isn't about returning to some imagined past, but building forward, creating conditions favorable to progress rather than planning progress itself. The only truly progressive policy is freedom for the individual. We've forgotten a simple truth: human society's complexity exceeds any planner's comprehension. Your dreams, talents, and knowledge, multiplied across millions, create possibilities no committee can imagine. The choice isn't between perfect freedom and perfect security, but between a system that harnesses human creativity through voluntary cooperation and one that crushes it through coercion. Choose wisely. The freedom you preserve today determines whether your children will know liberty or merely read about it in forbidden books.